Devoured Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 6 of Devour the Podcast. I'm your host, David, and this week is a bit of a special week. This will be the first week where, instead of a regular episode, you will be getting the first of the Devour the Podcast Presents the Crypt, Classics from the Crypt episode. Will be episode 1. I know I said I was going to do Paranormal Activity 2 this week. Various things have come up that have prevented me from watching it and getting it reviewed, but I have been working on the blog, so if you are interested in that, go ahead and check over to devourtheblog.wordpress.com. I've started my Nightbreed retrospective. Currently I'm working on the comic book series from 1990 from Epic Comics, and the whole thing will be capped off with the soundtrack and the actual movie review, most likely here on the show. So sit back, relax. I hope you enjoy this classic from the Crypt. It is the first episode of the Cryptcast with myself and my friend Dez. We are both using our pseudonyms, so you'll hear me referred to as Cenobite Dave. And that was probably, you'll probably hear that. That was my phone going off telling me I have a message. Because I forgot to mute the fucking thing before I started recording. But, you know, what can I say? It's been a very long week. I've had a lot of things going on. So thank you so much for listening, as always. I have a couple of blogs I'd like you to check out that I wanted to give a shout-out to. The first is horrorbore.wordpress.com. The second is alohamrhand.wordpress.com. And the third is rynews.wordpress.com. These are all WordPress sites that I follow. They are pretty cool horror blogs. I will post the links in the show notes so you can check them out. And as I said, Nightbreed Retrospective is going on right now, so check that out. I'm having fun doing it. I've got 25 comics to go through, or 27 comics technically to go through, I believe, before I'm finished with that, and then the soundtrack and the movie. So hopefully you will enjoy that. But hopefully you'll enjoy this first episode of the Cryptcast. The audio's a bit rough still. I did the best I could. I mean, we were recording with a Rock Band mic, USB mic, plugged into my laptop, and a guitar stand to hold it up. So the audio was a little bit rough, but it's not a bad show, I don't think. I mean, we did pretty well. It was our first episode, so, you know, it's kind of fun for historical purposes. Hopefully you enjoy it. It's a bit longer than most of my usual episodes are, so it's about 53 minutes. So you'll be getting a pretty long, this will be probably one of the longer episodes that have been released. But yeah, that's about it for this episode. Next week, as I said, I will be back with Paranormal Activity 2, I promise. God willing, nothing bizarre happens, prevents me from watching it, such as my cable going out or my Xbox breaking down or something else horrible like that. So knock on wood that none of those things happen. Shout out to Lucas and Chanel over at Natural Dead Wrong Podcast. I will be joining them about once a month or so for a segment. And as always, shout out to the Nightland Podcast crew. So without any further ado, here is the first episode of the Cryptcast. It is more or less uncut. I couldn't really do much with the audio because of the way we recorded it, and I tried as best I could to fix it up as well as I could, but it is what it is. So hopefully you'll enjoy it, and I will be back next week. Check out the blog and leave a comment.
And now our feature presentation.
Alrighty, welcome everybody to the first episode of the Cryptcast.
Hello.
I am Cenobite Dave. To my left is Dez. Some of you may know me from the HorrorNews.net podcast from Hell, which I was the producer of for about 6 months last year or so, give or take.
Or you may have heard me on the Midnight Horror Show. I did an episode where I kicked Wolfman Lucas's ass in a trivia battle.
He did.
I whooped his ass royally, and then that bitch put together a Best of 09 special, and I wasn't on it. Wasn't on there kicking his ass. So, what's up, Lucas?
Seems he was too afraid to admit that you knew more about movies than
Oh,
he
no, he
did.
went into it knowing he was going to get his ass kicked, but it was just like the worst ass paddling ever, so.
Sure, any way we can link to
Oh, yeah, I'll link to that in the show notes.
that.
So, Lucas, I know you're going to be listening to this at some point, so. Best bring it, bitch. I don't care if you are fucking handicapped.
Oh. Well, on that note, you would have a lot more time to work on things like studying movies. I know I'm going to hell for that,
Whatever.
but that's okay.
Lucas doesn't watch movies. Anyway, we're not talking about them now. Although everybody should check out the Midnight Horror Show. It's a great show. It's actually the reason I got into podcasting. I listened to them and I was like, this is awesome. And decided I wanted to do podcasting as well. So, as I said, this is the Cribcast. We have some things that we're going to talk about tonight, possibly. But for the general, what the show is going to be about, we're going to be covering horror in all kinds of different aspects. Books, comics, movies, music, video
Yeah.
games.
Let's say generally most people in this generation watch horror movies.
Yeah.
And that has expanded into horror video games, i.e. Silent Hill, one of my main creepy things that always comes up in my head.
Yeah.
But if you go old school, it was all books and let's just say there's a lot of influences out there that I feel get overlooked
Yeah.
and you know.
That's kind of what we're trying to do is that bring some stuff that maybe you know about or haven't heard of and tell you about that, and then the stuff you do know about, kind of give you our perspective on it. So, we'll be doing episodes where we cover different horror series. We'll do Friday the 13th, we'll do Nightmare on Elm Street, we'll do Hellraiser at some point.
I want to talk about the Haunted Mansion at some point.
We'll do that probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll probably do a kid-friendly horror show at some point. We'll probably do an episode where we get really, really drunk and just make asses of ourselves for our own amusement.
That sounds like fun. Only on the St. Patrick's Day episode.
Probably, yeah.
I just, yeah, well, we definitely want to make a point, blood and gore and boobies aside. We definitely feel that we enjoy horror on a more psychological level. It's a much more cerebral thing than most companies make it out to be. I don't know how many times I've just been shocked by a loud noise or something, and that's the big scare for the movie. Bam, the monster comes out.
Right.
But we definitely want to make a point that there's more stuff to look at, and we do look at a lot of it, and would like to expose you to some other things,
Yeah.
authors, movies, etc.
Directors, things like that. I mean, we'll cover the main stuff that everybody knows. We'll also try to get into some stuff that you may not have seen. At some point, we're going to do an episode dedicated to, like the top 10, 15, just worst horror movies you can track down. And I don't mean like bad as in Friday the 13th, 2009. I mean bad as in just fucking terrible movies.
Yes, and we will stay in the vein of sci-fi and horror.
Yes.
Peter Jackson did one movie called Bad Taste. Let's just say retarded aliens from space eating vomit and humans liking it. Yeah.
Obviously not nearly as brilliant as Dead Alive.
Yeah, Dead Alive, Peter Jackson, great movie. I would not put that on a bad list at all. It is definitely
No.
on the number one gore list,
Oh,
extended
yeah.
edition, I would add, as like an extra 5 minutes of lawnmower killing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think they used like several gallons of blood for that scene. We'll also be talking about non-American horror, so
oh yeah.
Europe, Japan, Asia, wherever there's horror to be found, and we found it, we will talk about it. We're both pretty big fans of Japanese and Asian horror.
I love subtitles.
Yeah.
So get over it if you don't like subtitles. Yeah, some of the best horror is in subtitles.
We will talk about movies that are subtitled, and if you aren't one of those people who does subtitles, then you're going to be shit out of luck. We're also probably making references to stuff on Netflix, so if you want to know, you know, what the hell we're talking about, and it's available on Instant Watch, or it's available on DVD through Netflix, I highly recommend you go check it out. And yeah, we'll try to cover some newer stuff and some older stuff. We won't be talking about the news too much, particularly, because I figure if you can find a horror podcast, then you can find the news, and you don't need me to read it to you. So, yeah, that's the general statement of what we're going to be doing with the show.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, if there's something coming up or anything in general that we mention or you feel like we need to discuss and you want to, you know, get in on that, be a part of it, let us know.
Yeah, I'll be setting up a MySpace, or I'm sorry, not MySpace, Facebook page for the Cryptcast, as well as the website that will be hosting the show, which I think will be Podomatic. I haven't set up the account yet. If you'd like, you can email me directly at cenobitedave@gmail.com. If I don't respond right away, it's probably because I haven't checked my email. But that is the easiest way to get a hold of me. You can email me your complaints and grievances or ideas for things you want us to cover right there. We'll probably set up a Cryptcast email account as well, possibly a phone line at some point, depending on if we decide to do that.
Also, if we have a few listeners.
Yeah, exactly.
One or two.
Yeah, aside from the other podcasters who hopefully will be listening.
Yeah, and through that Facebook, hopefully we'll you can see things that we discuss within the episode and want to check out or look into. But yeah, we definitely want to know what you think, what you want to hear, mm-hmm. and I'm sure we'll find a place for it and let you know, because that's what we're into, is just communicating with people. You know?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, whatever, you know, we're going to talk about stuff that we're interested in, but if you've seen a movie or you have an idea about something you want us to talk about, you know, feel free to tell us. You know, if you think, you know, if you really want to hear our opinion on something, you know, by all means, let us know and we'll give it to you. We're going to talk about Twilight occasionally, just to make fun of it, because it's fucking terrible.
And scary clowns with some tunes.
Yeah. But for the most part, you know, if you're a Twilight fan, this is not the show for you. We're just going to bash the shit out of that fucking terrible movie and book.
Let's just say it's a love story. Stephanie Meyer ails me because, well, if you didn't know already, Stephanie Meyer just doesn't even like anything to do with actual vampire stories.
Yeah, she doesn't know shit about actual vampire stories and then has the audacity to come up with this bullshit she calls a vampire.
She likes boys who sparkle. You know what sparkles? Like candy. The fling bars, they sparkle. They make your poop sparkly. Actually.
Oh my god.
I've checked.
That's disturbing.
Yeah, it's creepy.
So anyway, shit, I just completely drew a blank on what I was going to say. Oh, we'll try to keep you guys updated on conventions and things. We are based in the Bay Area, so any conventions we talk about will probably be Bay Area conventions.
My big convention I like to go to, even though it's not there's not a whole lot of horror going on, is WonderCon, because it's just close by. It's right across the bridge, not too expensive. You know, they do, like, host some pretty cool stuff. I think Kevin Smith's going to be there this year.
That would be cool.
With, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, last year they previewed Dante's Inferno for the 360. You know, kind of interesting to see, like, something that, like, I'm generally interested in, like, talked about, you know, in a large forum.
Yeah.
But
there's unfortunately I've noticed there haven't been a whole lot of horror fests here in California. I mean, there's the Sacramento Horror Film Festival, which I missed last year, unfortunately.
Oh, they have the Fangoria Festival. It's like all the way in L.A.
That's always in L.A., and yeah, I don't like Fangoria magazine. I think it's crap, and I'm sure there's plenty of fans out there who probably be pissed at me for saying that. But yeah.
Well, I used to read it when I was younger.
Oh, yeah, I used to, too.
When I was younger, that shit was... that was insane. Just to see, like, all the...
Some of the pictures they used to have were great.
There, yeah.
But, I mean...
True, I have aged a bit and now I'm a little into other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, my thing with Fangoria is that they never seem... Like, their articles always seem like fluff pieces to me.
True.
And then they never actually do reviews of movies. Whereas, you know, Rumor covers stuff and then ends up reviewing it later on. And even if the article was good, you know, talking about it originally, the movie sucks. They're going to tell you right away the movie fucking sucks.
Oh, yeah, that's important.
And I respect that. I respect the integrity to say, you know what, yeah, we covered this movie, but you know what, it fucking blows.
Also, so. You have to admit it's pretty brave to put, you know, nasty rotting corpses in a magazine.
Because,
you know, that's not family friendly. No. I mean, I think that's kind of a general rule of all horror. I mean, it's meant to shock and awe a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, horror is definitely... The horror genre has... It goes in... We have our spurts of, like, really great stuff and then, like, really bad stuff. You know, the 2000s, I think, will be remembered for the whole... I hate using this term so fucking much because I think it's a stupid term, but the whole torture porn thing was a big thing in the 2000s with, you know, Saw and Hostel. And
torture porn.
That, yeah, I hate the term because it's fucking stupid.
Thanks, Videodrome.
Yeah.
Good movie.
Yeah, Videodrome is fucking brilliant, but,
yeah. You
know, I think that...
Torture porn.
Yeah, the whole torture porn thing was just like, that was the big thing for the 2000s.
I have to say that grittiness of, I want like, Texas Chainsaw, the remake, and just that intense feeling that, yeah, these people are going to get massacred and it hurts inside so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like a Wolf Creek.
Yeah, well, I love Wolf Creek.
Yeah.
Wolf Creek was brilliant. I think that done right, torture porn, which actually I don't... like I said, I hate that term. I actually prefer to just call it exploitation films, since that's what they are.
Yeah.
When done correctly, like Hostel 2, like Wolf Creek, they can be done really well. They can be really good movies. You know, Wolf Creek was scary as hell because it seemed realistic. It's just this fucking guy out in the outback of fucking Australia takes these kids prisoner and then, like, tries and murders them. I mean, it's not... You could basically set that anywhere, and it could be any slasher movie, but they did it in a way that made it very realistic and scary. The same thing could be said of Hostel 2, where, actually, I prefer that one over the first one because there's actually a storyline. And actually, you know, you care about the characters in that one more than you do the first one. So the first one, they're just a bunch of frat boys, and they're like, all right, fuck it, they're going to die,
oh,
who cares?
A lot of fan service, a lot of boobies.
Oh, yeah, that too.
A lot of boobies.
Yeah. Eli Roth loves his boobies.
Not that I disagree, but, yeah.
Titties do not make a good horror movie. That's not at all... No, titties don't make a good horror movie. No.
Keep in mind, they spend most of their money... getting people to show their boobs.
Yeah, exactly.
And less money on storyline. That's essentially what it comes down to.
Yeah. I think you know, a lot of indie horror films tend to follow that route of, oh, if we put tits in this, it'll sell. And well, yeah, it will, but you're not doing anything. It's like, if you want to tell a story, you want to be noticed for your story, just fucking do it. You know, don't pander to the idiots who just want to see tits and gore, because you're not going to get anywhere. Not to say that tits and gore are a bad thing, because they have their place.
It's a relief to bad movies, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah,
oh, this movie's terrible. Oh, but a naked person.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
Yeah,
fast forward.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's so many terrible horror movies out there that are saved because you're like, okay, here's a naked girl running around for a couple minutes, it's fine. You know, but then again, you have something like My Bloody Valentine 3D. Where I had that 10-minute scene of that girl running around naked in 3D, and it's like, it just gets boring.
Well, I better watch that again. I don't remember that.
It was the hotel on the side of the road.
Okay.
Yeah, she's running around in high heels for like 10 minutes naked, and it's like, at first it's like, oh wow, she's naked and she's in 3D, and then it gets really fucking dull.
I have to say, what a horrible use of 3D. That was the first movie to come out in 3D, and it was like.
Yeah.
2009 or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was... I was excited, because it was like, oh, it's a horror movie. Oh, it's 3D. Oh, it's a remake of that one movie.
Yeah.
But it was not a good movie.
No, it wasn't. It was a fucking terrible movie. It was like Friday the 13th. It was a fucking bad movie.
I honestly enjoyed Coraline 3D a lot better.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous that, like, I think the problem is that the whole 3D thing is just another gimmick.
Yeah.
That, you know, they basically tacked it onto My Bloody Valentine because they're like, this movie's going to suck anyway. Let's just throw some 3D on it and draw people in.
Let's admit it. They did that before in the 90s with Elvira.
Oh, yeah.
3D stuff, movies,
And I admit freely, I went to see My Bloody Valentine 3D because it was in 3D.
Of course.
I mean, come on. Why else would I go see that shitty movie?
I definitely would not have seen it otherwise.
Yeah, if it had been just My Bloody Valentine, I would have probably said, no, fuck this movie. But it was 3D, and I was like, oh, hell yeah, I'm going to go see this. I don't care how bad it is. So I knew it was going to be bad going into it.
Yeah, bunch of movies, I always get disappointed, so I wait till they come out on DVD.
Kind of too expensive.
I wait till the guy down the block comes and brings me a burnt DVD.
Yeah.
$5, that's probably.
Yeah, I know, right? So we will talk about remakes here and there. We're not one of those people, we're not a group of people who hate remakes particularly. I actually like some remakes as their own films. I don't judge them against the original. Like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. A lot of fans didn't like the remake. I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was a good retelling of the same similar story, in a new way. I think the characters they added were interesting. Definitely Arlie Ermey's sheriff character was a highlight. But you could put him in anything and it'll be good.
True. I mean I kinda almost was afraid of him just because he was such like an evil, perverted, like madman.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just like, oh, no, Lee Ermey.
Yeah, no, it was like you see him coming, you're like, oh, shit, we're in trouble now. I mean, and there's no denying the original is a classic, or that, you know, Dennis Hopper and Bill Moseley and Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 weren't brilliant, because that was a brilliant movie, too.
Well, I think that is the point. The original is a classic.
Yeah.
You can't necessarily remake something and make it better.
Yeah, I mean,
you have to do your own thing. I mean, if you could compare it to like cover songs.
Yeah.
Like, okay, Message in the Bottle with Sting. Yeah, it's a cheesy movie, but that's gonna live forever or whatever, right? And then we got Machine Head's version. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this, but that's a great cover. You know, it's a great cover song. And I heard the same song today, which is why I'm bringing this up, by some, like, acoustic band. No, it was John Mayer doing Message in a Bottle. I think it was him anyways. And it was terrible. It's like, why would you redo that song and make it suck even worse than the original? Like, it's just a waste of time.
Yeah, it's like, I think some films, like, I look at your monitor and the Night of the Living Dead pictures floating by. You know, the original is an undisputed classic. There's no denying that. The 1990 remake that Tom Savini did, which I haven't seen in several years, is always praised by a lot of fans for being really good. I haven't seen it in a long time.
It's honestly nothing like the original, minus the situation and the characters.
Yeah.
But they added shotguns to the mix.
Yeah.
And it was a real badass movie.
Yeah, it was. Actually, I mean, the bits I remember were pretty good. I just didn't really like it when I first saw it because I was super into Night of the Living Dead. But then, of course, they remade it again in 3D with Sid Haig, and I've heard that was fucking terrible.
I haven't even watched it.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, Sid Haig in 3D? I mean, I'd love to see that, but I don't need to see another fucking version of Night of the Living Dead. It's like Dawn of the Dead, and they remade that. That was actually a really good remake because it was its own story. It took the basic idea of, okay, zombies and people hold up in a mall. You know, let's retell the same general idea with, in a modern setting, and then of course with the fast zombies, which, you know, can be argued all till the end of time of whether or not fast zombies should work or not, because whatever. But
well, it did a good job at portraying that emotion that they are totally isolated, because of this global feeling. Like, it gave you the impression that zombies have taken over the world.
Which I think 28 Days Later kind of touched on, but was never. It was implied in the beginning that it had affected everywhere, but then again in the basement, when Jim is been taken prisoner in the compound, he's talking to the one military guy, and he says, you know, they basically quarantined us because we're an island. You know, the rest of the world is probably going on about its business and not even paying any attention to us. You know, and then of course at the end of 28 weeks later, we have the rage-infected monsters, you know, attacking Paris. So
yeah, 28 days later, what was different from all the other Night of the Living Dead movies is, like, you could not step in. Well, sorry, in Night of the Living Dead, you couldn't step outside your door. There were zombies everywhere.
Yeah.
In 28 Days Later, they were used more as, like, the background. I mean, there was stretches of road and, you know, supermarkets and stuff where there was nobody. But as soon as
one zombie
popped on the screen, there was, like, 1,000 infected.
Yeah.
And then it gave you that feeling of, oh crap, we have to get out of here.
Yeah, I think that, in a way, the classic zombies are... They're scary, but I don't think that a lot of people tend to think of them as being as scary now because they're like, oh, well, they're slow. You know, but that's they're more psychological in that way because...
It's nightmarish.
Yeah, because it's there's just stuck, so many of them. And you're like, oh, well, they're slow, I can just outrun them. Well, you're going to get tired at some point. They're never going to get tired. You know, you can hold yourself up in a building, but they'll eventually get in because they're just relentless. Whereas the fast zombies and the infected are much more scary on a kind of base, visceral level because, you know, holy shit, they're really fast. And, you know, at least with the fast zombies in Dawn of the Dead, they weren't going to stop. You know, the infected eventually died out.
Yeah.
But, you know, the zombies in Dawn of the Dead just, you know, they didn't stop. They just kept coming and coming. So I think the fast zombie has its merits.
Yeah, it takes away from the originality of, like, the slow zombie, of course. But
I mean, the slow zombie has been used to great effect in other films. Like, Fido recently was a great zombie comedy. Shaun of the Dead, of course.
Wild Zero.
Wild Zero.
If you haven't seen it.
Junk, which is a great Japanese Yakuza zombie movie. I haven't watched that one in a while, but I gotta watch that again. There's another Japanese zombie movie I haven't seen yet called Stacy that I've heard is really good. I haven't been able to get my hands on it yet.
I haven't heard of that one.
I don't know much about it. I know I've been trying to get a hold of it for a couple of years, and I keep forgetting to order it from places. And, of course, Fulci's Zombie 2, or Zombie.
Iconic zombie with the worm coming out of
the side. Oh, yeah, the conquistador zombies, which don't make any goddamn sense whatsoever. Oh, my God, I love that movie so much. It doesn't make any sense. But the fucking shark fighting a zombie. That's the greatest scene ever.
I think it's the number one sold zombie Halloween mask.
Yeah, I think so.
Has anybody seen the movie? No.
Yeah, it's like nobody remembers what the movie is, but everybody knows that face. And any zombie fan knows Zombie versus Shark from fucking Zombie 2. It's such a brilliant scene.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely fucking ridiculous, but it's brilliant because it's so fucking ridiculous. You're like, who thought this was a good idea? And then you're like, wow. Not only do they think this is a good idea, but they spent the time to actually make this scene work. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I do feel there's been, like, a zombie craze going on. I mean, of course, the vampire craze.
I think the vampire craze has kind of taken over it. I mean, zombies kind of got big. Starting it big again with 28 Days. And then Dawn of the Dead came out. And then that kind of brought zombies back to the forefront.
I have to say, I've been really enjoying all of the Max Brooks stuff.
Oh, yeah, Max Brooks stuff is brilliant. Zombie Survival Guide. I'm sure most horror fans have read that one already.
I'm reading World War Z.
World War Z is fantastic. You should actually get a copy of the audio. The audio is really good. It's abridged, but it's really good.
It's really intense. I thought it was just going to be like a comedy, basically. But no, it takes a very serious standpoint of what would happen if zombies literally, or, you know, the infection started spreading across the world and all these, this is like voices of like people across the board, like military, civilian, government, conspirators, etc. It's just,
how everybody dealt with the zombie war.
It's a written post-zombie mm-hmm. apocalypse in an afterthought or whatever. Yeah.
There's a fantastic story in that collection that's by a monk, or a blind, I think he's a blind monk in Japan, and he goes off into the mountains to die, and he ends up, like, surviving somehow, fighting off the zombies just by hearing. It's a brilliant, and it's a great story, and like I said, if you can get your hands on a copy of the audiobook, either buy it, steal it, however you need to get it,
Read it in the store.
Read it in the store.
Fall asleep if you need.
Yeah, the audio is, it's abridged, but the voice acting is so good, it brings the story to life so much more.
It's written almost like a diary. It's very easy to read. But if you also want a more visual aspect, Max Brooks just came out with a graphic novel called Recorded Attacks.
Oh, yeah.
And if you want to reawaken your love for, like, zombies, like, right there is. Don't go buy it. It's really short.
Yeah. It's like $15.
Yeah. You just can read it in the store. The comic book store or wherever you have to go, bookstore, and just, like, kind of pick it up and finger through it a little bit. It goes throughout history, starting from, like, caveman attack, a zombie attack, to, like, one that just happened in your neighborhood, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing about it, it tells it in such a realistic way that it makes you feel like, does this really happen? It makes you want to go Google it, like,
yeah,
where did this happen? What is this all about? Like, is this a real story? Yeah. Like, I, you know, of course it's fiction, but, I mean, that's no fun, right? Yes, it's real, you know, it's what you want to think about.
Yeah, that's what he did with the very end of Zombie Survival Guide. He did the recorded attacks, and some of them were, like, so convincing, you're like, wait, really? Because, like, he took, like, actual events and then just sort of stuck zombies in there, and you're like, that actually kind of makes sense. It's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
So.
Needless to say, that graphic novel was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. I didn't go buy it, but I did read it.
Yeah.
I haven't read Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies, but it is on the number one, or not number one, but it's on the top 10 charts for most sold books.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been meaning to read it, but at the same time, I kind of think it's just like a novelty.
Let's just say I'm not into Jane Austen.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't really care about Pride and Prejudice on its own, and even throwing zombies into it, I'm still like, I don't really care.
I do like the fact that some characters from this movie I don't, or this book I don't really like, are going to be attacked by zombies at some point.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that it's been sold a lot is a promising thought that people are interested.
Yeah. Hmm. I mean, I think the zombie craze is kind of, it's starting to wane a bit, just because vampires have taken over.
Did you see Zombieland?
No, I didn't see Zombieland yet.
Good movie. It was short, but it felt consistent.
Mm.
Good zombie movie. It was a slapstick comedy zombie movie with, you know, a few good actors in it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, go see it. Why not? It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Just to make you think about it. But then again, it wasn't really about zombies. It was about the characters.
Yeah, I think that's really what where the best zombie movies tend to be, when they're about the characters and not really so much about the zombies themselves. I mean, I think the best monster movies tend to be the ones where the monsters are more of a background peripheral type thing, or they're more of a, more used as a way to tell another, to kind of, as a metaphor for something else. Like the original Dawn of the Dead, the zombies were there as, you know, to kind of represent Romero making a comment about consumerism, and in the original, of course, about racism. And then in Fido, it was, you know, the whole, like, 1950s thing, and you know, zombie, everybody has a zombie, you know, the atomic family kind of thing with a, you know, you had to keep up with the Joneses by getting a fucking zombie to do your laundry and stuff. So I think zombies are kind of, they're great when they're done right, and they fucking suck when they're done terribly wrong. And the same thing with vampires. I mean, vampires can be really well done, but, and we've had some really good vampire movies come out recently. You know, 30 Days of Night was really good. Daybreakers comes out soon.
I loved Let the Right One In.
Let the Right One In, of course, was another amazing film. And it's really those kind of outside the box vampire movies that don't.
Yeah.
They either go back to what vampires are, which are, you know, blood sucking monsters, or they do something kind of different.
Yeah. I think that's important for Dracula movies, or excuse, I say Dracula, that's a fine point, because everyone has associated all vampires with Bram Stoker's Dracula. And well, that was that a specific movie, Bram Stoker's Dracula, was an awesome movie.
Oh, yeah.
But if you wanted to like get a little out of the box of what the psychological aspects of vampires could be, like I remember George Romero did a movie called Martin.
Right.
Have you ever seen that?
I have not seen Martin.
It's a really slow, brooding movie. Mm-hmm. Martin is just a really normal guy who's been living for thousands of years preying on women. You know?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, just that idea.
Yeah, there's one called Night Junkies, where I think it's about this couple who are drug addicts or former drug addicts become vampires, and it treats vampirism like drug addiction. And it's a brilliant movie. It was really well done. I think it was like a little independent movie, and I don't know what the budget or anything was, but it looks really great. You get it Blockbuster or any other video place. I think it's on Netflix just to watch right now. But it's really, really good. It's really, it takes the vampires and turns them into something kind of unexpected. It looks at vampirism a different way and kind of gives you a chance to really see a different aspect of it. To, you know, like I said, it works as a metaphor for, you know, drug addiction. And of course, there's tons of terrible vampire movies out there.
Yeah.
But, But like I said, Daybreakers is coming out, I believe, Friday.
I'll go see it. I mean, I'm a little afraid it's just going to be one of those movies that you go see and you're like, well, that was okay. But that happens all the time.
Yeah, I think it looks really promising. With William Dafoe and Chris Neal and Ethan Hawke in it, I think it has the potential to be really, really good. But at the same time, it could be a complete clusterfuck. Like, what is that movie, Legion, or whatever it is, with the fucking angels fighting? That looks fucking retarded as hell.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was based off the comic book, and it was a neat idea. Like, I heard about it, I'm like, oh, wow, demons? And like, look at this cool guy with the long legs and stuff. And then I saw the preview, and I'm like, oh, this looks terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
What a horrible movie that's going to be, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But another interesting vampire story is... what was it? Night of the Vampire? No, Shadow of the Vampire.
Oh, yeah, Shadow of the Vampire.
Which is a documentary on the making of the movie Nosferatu.
Well, it's a docudrama.
Docudrama.
About the making of Nosferatu, which is another great film, the original.
Is that Defoe?
Max Schreck. Yes. William Dafoe plays Max Schreck, and John Malkovich plays the director, F.W. Murnau. I think Nosferatu is available on Instant Watch as well, so check that one out.
Yeah, watch the movie Nosferatu. It's an old German film, silent film, little eerie, little boring.
Very expressionistic.
But, yeah, well, specifically Nosferatu, if you read the story, Dracula, or even the first few chapters, no other vampire has been accurately made to look like what Dracula looks like in the book. Nosferatu is a creepy-looking vampire.
Well, yeah, I mean,
and that's what he looked like in the book.
They wanted to do an adaptation of Dracula, and they couldn't get the rights to it, so they just ripped it off anyway and called it Nosferatu.
Yeah, but a tall, pale guy with
very
pointy
sharp
ears.
Features. And
yeah.
Very rat-like.
Yeah, so... Anyway, Shadow of the Vampire was kind of like a telling of how this movie came to be.
Yeah, and kind of this idea that maybe Max Schreck was actually a vampire for real, and maybe he was just a really crazy method actor. Because this, I think that's his only credit.
That's the theme. He's a method actor, which is somebody that becomes who he is, literally, like, for days or weeks or a month at a time, just to be that person as much as he possibly can. and in this case, a vampire. So when they create that story, you get to see this guy, like, lurking around in caves and just creeping people out.
Yeah. And I mean, it's fucking William Dafoe, for Christ's sake. So he's creepy. He's creepy looking already. But, you know, put him in that makeup and let him wander around and be creepy and stuff. It's fucking brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, that's one I would, like, have to suggest to people. Mm-hmm. Go watch that movie. It's a good one, you know. I try not to do that too often because there's so many movies that people say that about. That's probably one of them I would say, if you're interested in that, go watch it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, there are a lot... There are a ton. I mean, people are constantly recommending movies to people. I mean, I get recommended movies on a regular basis, and I don't have the time or the energy to sit and watch them all.
I pretty much prejudge by the package before I watch it.
Oh yeah, everybody does. I mean, we look at you look at the cover and you read the synopsis on the back, and you pretty much make your snap judgment right there whether it's going to be worth your time or not. And of course, sometimes you're wrong. I mean, there's a movie called, I think, Patrick. It's like a Australian movie where this guy is in a coma and he can kill people with his brain even though he's in a coma. And his eyes are wide open. I mean, I saw it on Instant Watch. I'm like, this looks fucking stupid.
Terrible.
And then I watched this movie about called Not Quite Hollywood, about the Australian film industry. And they talk about that movie. And I was like, wow, this actually does sound kind of interesting now that I've seen, you know, parts of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Let's just say we will never blatantly promote something just because.
Yeah.
We're pretty harsh judges. We're picky people. I like to give things a fair chance, and I am pretty, I'm very open-minded when it comes to liking something or not. But I do like to give a pretty harsh criticism first before I can honestly say I like something.
Yeah, we're not getting paid by anybody. We're not... Anything we promote on this show is because we liked it. We spent our money to see it, and you know, we're not getting anything free to promote anything on this show.
Yeah, because I have to say, like David just said, I've come into this thing before. Like, will you read a review about something and you're like, wow, I would have never watched that before, but because these people said something about it, this looks pretty good. Yeah. What was it? Tokyo was something I watched, which was very... It was just a weird movie, but not necessarily horror, maybe more in the sci-fi. But I read a review on that, and then I saw it, and I'm like, wow, I'm glad I watched that movie, because, you know, but generally we want to be that person. We don't want to lead you into a dark alley to be snubbed in the head by a stray DVD that sucked. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
But,
so, I mean, we'll try and cover as much of the good stuff that we see. We'll pass along some of the bad stuff that's funny.
Yeah.
But we're gonna basically give it to you straight on how we feel about certain movies and whether or not they're worth watching. And of course, remember that you may not like everything that we like. You know, you may sit and watch one of the movies that we recommend and you may hate it, and that's fine.
Try to find a way to review things without being extremely biased.
Oh yeah.
I want to let you know like what I got from it and what you might get from
it. I mean, like, Trick or Treat was one of my absolute favorite films of last year.
Trick or Treat is a good, brand new horror movie.
Yeah, it was supposed to come out, I believe, 2007, 2008. Warner Brothers kept pushing it back, and finally it came out on DVD a little bit before Halloween of 2009. And... it's one of those movies that if you see it on the shelf at a video store, you might pick it up.
It's got a weird little demon pumpkin face guy, and you're like, oh, that's another crappy monster movie.
Yeah,
not at all.
It's such a great... It's one of those movies that really captures the spirit of the Halloween season, of the month of October, the way you think about it from when you were a kid, you know? You know, the pumpkins everywhere, and the decorations and the leaves changing color, just the colors and the sights and the sounds, everything about that movie just screams the Halloween that I remember as a kid that sadly has started to die out in the past 5-10 years or so.
It's kind of like short stories in it that kind of are interweaved by the characters.
It's
loosely interweaved.
Yeah, it's an anthology film.
And even though they introduce these characters. They yeah. are lovable.
Yeah, it's what's interesting about it is that it was, I believe, it was originally made, it was written to be just an anthology film, and then he kind of links each of the characters to each of the stories in like a background shot.
Oh, and it's surprising that
oh, yeah.
some of these characters end up being like
it's
one,
yeah.
completely 180, yet they, at the same time, they don't really have to do with the other stories.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those movies that the first time you see it, there's so many little things that you'll miss because you're looking at the big picture, and then as the movie unravels and you start, you know, each story comes to its end, and then it comes to the end of the film, and it kind of wraps everything up, you start going, oh, and then, of course, when you go back and watch it again, you start seeing all the little things here and there of who was standing where and who was in what shots, and, you know, that this whole thing, all these different stories were literally taking place, you know, maybe within 5 to 10 minutes of each other, you know. One story maybe taking place, you know, 5 minutes before another one started, or just after one ended, and things like that. So,
and the little pumpkin face monster guy, Sam, he is an evil little demon from hell.
Oh, he's a little bastard, but he's awesome.
He has the spirit of a child, and he is the essence, or
he
goes to Halloween,
yeah,
as I would call
it. He's the spirit of Halloween, I think.
The evil part, anyways.
Not necessarily evil. I mean, he's
I guess
this,
he has the childhood aspect.
Yeah, I mean, he is. Yeah. He's the spirit of what Halloween is. It's trick or treat, basically.
Trick or treat.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, he went, and it happens in the film. Like he, I don't want to spoil anything, but the one scene where he picks up the candy bar, when he almost kills that one guy, you know, he picks up the candy bar instead of killing him and walks out with it.
Yeah.
You know, that entire scene is basically Sam just fucking with that guy.
Yeah, he looked at him like, should I kill this guy? And the guy's like, what the fuck are you looking at? And he's
yeah.
like, well,
it's
no,
like
I'm
he's
not
about to
kill
him, and then he like he picks up the candy bar and he goes, oh, it's a candy. And he just like walks out. It's like, you realize that Sam was fucking with this guy the entire time just because he wanted some candy. And yeah. it's like, it's such an out there kind of idea, but it works so well.
You know, yeah, there's been so many horror movies, and I have, you know, every time I pick up one of them from the shelf at the movie video store, I'm like, okay, this is probably going to suck. I'll rent it anyways. And then I watch it, and I'm like, yeah, it totally sucked.
Yeah.
This one was not like that.
No, not at all.
Trick or Treat was one of the good ones.
Yeah, Trick or Treat was definitely a major accomplishment for horror films, I think. Michael Dougherty, who directed it, I think it's his first film, did an amazing job. Great cast.
Anna Paquin.
Anna Paquin is in it, and there's a $45 book available that's like art from the movie and like all this just stuff about the movie, and I really want to get my hands on it because it looks awesome. Then of course the DVD is available and it's got a few special features. I haven't checked them out yet, but it's definitely worth picking up. If you're not sure, you know, head to Blockbuster or Netflix it or whatever you want to do.
Yeah, spend
it.
Like $3 on it.
Yeah.
Rent it.
And if you really enjoy it as much as we did, then go ahead and buy it. I mean, it really is one of those movies that you'll pick it up. And it's one of those movies that has had a lot of hype behind it. And because of that, even I went into it thinking this is not going to live up to the hype at all. And it actually did for me. I mean, I thought it was, you know, it really was pretty much, like I said, the perfect example of what Halloween was about and the kind of spirit of Halloween that we don't see that often anymore. And so, you know, don't try not to go into it with you know, too much of the hype behind you. Just sort of enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah, it's a nice, it's a well-moving, it moves just
yeah,
good.
it's got a good pace. It's got great acting, beautiful set designs.
Well, what happened was the director just the light shined on him one day, and he said, "Well, I'm going to make a good movie.
Yeah,
I'm going to put my heart into it." And you could tell that.
Yeah,
that's what happened.
It's definitely a love letter to horror as a genre, and but also the Halloween season.
Yeah, and it doesn't just do one thing.
Yeah,
it does. It crosses a few like ghosty, monstery
yeah,
type things.
Yeah, I mean, because there's a ghost story, there's a monster story. There's, you know,
there's just a straight killer story.
Yeah, and they all kind of move together in a way that you really don't expect. And then, of course, at the end, when it all wraps together, you're like, wow, that was... It's got a very kind of David Lynch, Neil Gaiman type of coming together at the end where you go, oh, I understand. And, but it's not, like, overdone. It's just sort of like...
I have to admit,
it's just wrapped in one.
I love anthology movies.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen The Willies. You ever seen The Willies?
No, I never, never
okay,
seen
okay,
that.
That's a little more, like, cheesy, funny, but... Okay, well, it's The Willies, there's Tales from the Dark Side.
Yeah. The Tales from the Dark Side movie, there was the Twilight Zone movie.
Oh, yeah, the Twilight
Zone. Tales from the Hood, which I haven't seen yet. I've seen parts of it.
Tales from the Hood seems like it's going to be cheesy. It's actually pretty scary, and it's a hit or miss, honestly, but...
Yeah.
It's very serious, yeah. As opposed to, like,
Snoop Dogg's Hood of Horror, which is hilarious.
Good one.
Oh, my God, I love that movie.
I was trying to think of another one. I know they have Dead Time Stories, which
yeah.
is a little more on that trauma side of movies,
yeah.
I guess.
Oh, and, of course, Creepshow 1 and 2.
Creepshow, yes.
Those two are classics.
Oh, good.
Romero and Stephen King working together on couple of films, and those are really good. I mean, those
Creepshow really pinpointed that feeling you get when you read like Vault of Horror,
yeah,
or you know Tales from the Crypt of comic books.
Yeah, it definitely had that 1950s kind of comic book feel, but
nostalgia.
Yeah,
those were great stories. Both of them, Creepshow 1 and 2.
Creepshow improved on them.
Cut off and start back up. Just like, you know, story, then host, but... Oh, wow. Those are good ones.
Oh, yeah.
If you've never... If you're interested in that kind of, like, thing, like the comic books, essentially, or individual stories that, you know, aren't too long, or... Those are where it's at.
Yeah, if you like anthology films, or you've never seen an anthology film, those are definitely good. Those two are definitely good ones to start with.
I feel they were pretty creepy, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Raft story is really creepy.
The homeless guy that follows you home.
The hitchhiker.
And then
there's all
the box, the monster in the box.
Oh, yeah. There's that werewolf Jeez. Monster in the box. The one with the...
Creepy, yeah.
The Father's Day.
Oh, God. Yeah, Father's Day. Yeah, Where's Father's my Day. Cake?
Yeah.
Where's my cake? And, There's one really good one where this guy kills this guy and his girlfriend, and they come back from the watery dead.
Oh, yeah, with Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, I can hold my breath for a long time.
Yeah, I think like that was like Tony Danza was in that, and then Leslie Nielsen plays the bad guy, which is fucking weird.
It is a weird
guy. But that was really good, and then, of course, Old Chief Woodenhead from Part 2.
Chief Woodenhead, like,
that
seriously,
is such a...
sticks in my... I can't look at a wooden Indian without thinking of this story.
Yeah.
Chief Woodenhead.
It's about this this old white guy who, like, lives in a desert town somewhere, and he's got his general store, and he's made friends with the local Native Americans, and, you know, they owe him this great debt of, you know, there's so much debt for, you know, all of the supplies he's given them over the years. And, you know, they give him this satchel of you know, precious stones and things, and say, you know, these are our treasures of our tribe. You know, you hang on to this until our debt is paid. And then, like, the nephew of the chief comes kills the...
Basically, like, a little small-town gang wants to get out of town, wants to move to L.A., become a movie star. Comes in and
they rape and or they rob
they don't
and
rape,
murder.
They blow the shit out.
Yeah, they rob and murder the owner and his wife, and then Old Chief Woodenhead, the wooden Indian outside the outside the store that
he's
know,
a mascot of the store. And,
yeah,
the guy has taken
he's care been taking
of him
care of
every
him for
day.
Every day for years and years. And
Fresh
years.
War paint, all that.
Yeah, and then he goes and he comes to life and he kills these guys and. It's such a great...
By hatchet and arrow and blade, and he kills these guys.
Yeah, it's really one of those great, like, classic kind of, you know, EC revenge stories that...
Let's say Wood has never been scarier.
Yeah.
Say,
I mean, even in Evil Dead...
Before the Gollum, like, or after the story of the Gollum, which is the rock monster.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the...
Not Gollum, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, the other Gollum. The Jewish one. So,
well, I have to say right here on the Cryptcast, they should make a Creepshow 3.
They did.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh,
it
sorry.
Was crap.
Well, they should redo. They should make another Creepshow, and it should not be crap.
Yeah. The company, I think it's. Oh God, I don't remember the name of the company, but they own the rights to the Creepshow title, and they own the rights to the Day of the Dead title. Mm. And so they remade Day of the Dead, which apparently sucked. I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, God.
They did a sequel to Day of the Dead called Day of the Dead 2 Contagion.
No, I heard
sucked.
It was terrible. Like,
yeah.
Even the cover looked terrible.
Oh, God, the cover is horrible.
It shared nothing with the original Day of the Dead, which
yeah.
is a very eerie and slow and brooding,
oh, yeah.
dark movie. And they just shared the title, and it had nothing else
yeah.
to do with that movie.
And then they made Creepshow 3, which I never saw, because all I heard was terrible reviews of it. So
I guess I'll have to watch it, just for the fact that it is Creepshow 3. But the first two are...
The first two are classics.
One of my favorite. And also the Willies. I don't know. Go look it up. It's got frickin' Sean Astin, Samwise Gamgee.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's like one of the main characters. It's basically a few kids camping out in their backyard telling scary stories.
You know, I think
and
I've
some
seen
of those
part of
stories
that.
Are pretty weird. It's more like on a Goosebumps level,
oh, okay.
but an adult Goosebumps.
Oh,
level.
Okay.
Like, you know, kids being at a school being killed by a monster in the bathroom. It's,
yeah.
Flies taking revenge on this evil boy.
Yeah.
You know, they're neat stories. It's good when I was a kid. Basically, it's nostalgia at this point.
Yeah.
One of those movies that are going to be forgotten and lost. And go watch The Willies. Don't forget it.
Yeah.
Let's just say my parents like to show me these weirdo movies. And I guess I'm not too much of a weirdo, but, you know, a certain love and fondness has grown for these
creepy,
weird
kind of forgotten movies.
Absolutely.
All right, well... We've been going on for almost an hour now,
yeah.
so we're going to go ahead and sign off for now.
Yeah.
Check back, hopefully. I'm not going to tell you when, but probably next week.
Yeah.
Next week being a relative term to when this episode comes out. So you can expect an episode the following week that this episode comes out.
Let us know what you want to hear about.
Yes, please.
Chances are we'll go take your suggestions and just start our show like that.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So, remember, sendabytedave@gmail.com will be, you can get in touch with me there. I will put together a Facebook page and a Cryptcast email address that I will put in the show notes for this episode. So, yeah. Take it easy, everybody, and thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
To contact Devour the Podcast, you can email us at sendabytedave@gmail.com. That's CENOBITEDAVE@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at DDelamorte, that's capital D, DELLAMORTE. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/devourtheblog. You can subscribe on iTunes, search for Devour the Blog, or visit the website devourtheblog.wordpress.com. Our intro song is entitled Gloom Horizon by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. To contact Devour the Podcast, you can email us at cenobitedave@gmail.com. That's CENOBITEDAVE@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at DDelamorte, that's capital D, DELLAMORTE. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/devourtheblog. You can subscribe on iTunes, search for Devour the Blog, or visit the website devourtheblog.wordpress.com. Our intro song is entitled Gloom Horizon by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com.